Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Lex gets a Leviathan pen, Alex gets a costume, and Supergirl gets some decoys. It's just like the beginning of Deathly Hallows, CW's Supergirl Season 5, Episode 19, the season finale, Immortal Kombat. We're talking all about it right here on the AfterBuzz After Show. And by we, I mean me. My name is Tehran. If you don't know me, you don't know Supergirl. And behind the curtain of AfterBuzz is my main man, Ryan. How are you, Ryan?
I am well. I am in the hidden
Thank
room.
Thank you, Ryan. It's so great to have you as tech support on the show. That's how we're doing it here at AfterBuzz, is they are working endlessly to provide us all with the content that we need, but not the content we deserve. I love throwing that line in as much as possible. We're going to be breaking down CW's Supergirl Season 5, Episode 19, Season Finale, Immortal Kombat, and we're going to break it down as thus. Being that this was the season finale for this Season 5, it's something we're going to point out. We're going to talk about that a lot, but Brainy's betrayal, and I mean that in every sense of the word, Alex the superhero, Kara on the sideline, because you know she hates that. Lena and Kara team up, but do they make up? William goes for Tezmacher. We get three gods in the making. Ramakan, Tezamok, and Sulla of Leviathan. Unity Festival, activating Andrea. Rojas gets her moment on the screen. Lex's plan, Mommy Dearest. Supergirl, where we take a Supergirl, this is our special segment, a Supergirl, someone who's actually making a change in the world. This week, it's going to be Ruby Rose. News and gossip, where we have all the tea you're going to want to sip, and some predictions for next season, season 6. Overall thoughts on this season finale. I want everyone to remember that this was not the season finale that was planned for. This is the season finale that we got because of COVID-19. And I honestly believe the Supergirl team, in contrast to my belief of season 5, did an amazing job in securing us a season finale, even through all of the hardships. Some shows had nothing whatsoever. Nothing went down. And therefore, us getting a season finale and it actually feeling like a season finale. This could have been something, especially in the Supergirl past that we've seen, ends up being the season finale. So I was actually very impressed and thankful that we got some conclusions to this season, which this season's overall, to me, has been a tad on the lackluster side, especially since I have so much faith and so much desire of Supergirl and its ability to be an amazing and great show, as it was, especially if you remember season 1, going into season 2, season 3, and now we're getting this dip. Let's rise above this. Let's get back to the Supergirl that we love. And I was looking forward to it, especially this show, this episode had so much promise. We, of course, get Brainy, and that I hope that storyline is over. That has been one of the worst storylines. I want to go over the storylines of this season simply because this is the season finale. The storyline of Brainy has just been one of my least favorite of all. I love likable Jesse Rath. I love likable Brainy. I like Brainy just being fun and the comic relief. There seemed to be a drain of that as we drained Brainy from his inhibitors and took them off. Alex and Kelly, as much as they've tried to establish that as a love connection, I'm just not feeling it. They feel like an old married couple already. I want them to do more. I want them to be more. I really like Kelly. And of course, who doesn't like Alex? They underutilize Alex this season. They misused Kelly this season. Let's get more Kelly and Alex storyline going in. Looking forward to more of that. This episode, we got a little more. And we saw that hint of interaction and intimacy, of course, when Kelly says, I wish we had a little more time, in reference to Alex's new superhero costume, which is amazing and cool and fun. Finally, Alex gets what she has deserved this whole time. Kara and Lena, this storyline, I'm glad that we've come to a conclusion, or at least what is the beginning of one, because their breakup has been the bane of my existence. Every single Sunday I go in going, stop it, Lena, stop it, stop it, stop it. And then a couple of weeks ago, Kara turned the tide on season 5, coming out of the crisis where she said, I'm done with trying to make it up to you. And then I started saying, Kara, stop it, stop it, stop it. Clearly the love you two have for one each other goes beyond. If this is all it takes to break up you two, then it wasn't a bond worth being broken in the first place. So I'm glad that we got somewhat of a conclusion. Once again, thankful to this episode. The storyline of the DEO belonging to Lex, I'm not even understanding exactly what that means. This privatized organization that consults for the government, what is its impact? What does it actually do? We haven't seen it deal with many aliens outside of Leviathan. True, Leviathan is a world-ending event, but it's not really dealing with anything, and there's no true checks and balance. Is this a private company, or is it owned by the government? Does Lex run it as a corporation? Is it a government contractor, or is it just a privatized faction of LexCorp that we need to know more about? So I'm just interested. I want this to also, it's almost as if, basically, I want things to go back to the way they were. Crisis was amazing, but post-crisis hasn't been so great. Tessmacher, such a tormented soul, especially in this incarnation, incantation of her. It was so good to see Eve Tessmacher. I really like her character. I did think that the ending was a bit abrupt. Basically, she turns, she just gives up the information. She feels remorse for what she's done, which we've seen that before. William points it out when he says, I can tell you're a good person. But she has been acting under duress in this season. So if the risks were a little higher, we also get the storyline of Leviathan, one of the most confusing storylines of all time. It really took nothing to defeat Leviathan. I need more. We have vested interest in the storyline. Whether we wanted to or not, they forced it on us. So let us get more. It took a whole season to build up Leviathan, and it took one third of an episode to bring them all down and to put them all in their place and to capture them. Of course, we're setting up for more Lex, which I always like, because I do like John Cryer. I do like Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor is always going to be that entity on screen. It's always going to be the supervillain of the supervillains. It's always great to see some Lex. The concept of Obsidian and Unity Festival was built great. They talked about Obsidian. Obsidian was built up. Once again, another one of those things where we had a buildup all season long and then a 1 minute diatribe, which brought it all down. We are too invested in Obsidian. I want Obsidian. I remember when Google Glasses was a thing and I wanted a pair of those. This is 100 times better than that. This is Ready Player One. This is joining a world in which you are in control. You become Lawnmower Man. You can be benevolent if you want. Who knows what I would want? The point of it is this, is that once again, we've been given the storyline that we've liked, or at least we've been fed, and now we want a valuable, viable solution and conclusion of it, and we haven't received that. Andrea Rojas, extremely underutilized in this episode, and in general. I mean, we love Andrea. I think that Julie Gonzalo is an amazing actor, and we get a lot of that. So most underutilized is going to go to Andrea Rojas. Most unnecessary, because they underutilize them so, is going to go to Stas Nair. William Day, an amazingly charismatic, wonderful actor who was not used, did not create a sense of the attractive intimacy that we were looking for between Kara, especially because we had Dax in the play in real life, on and off screen. So these are the things that were not necessarily problems, but things that were noticeable to myself, and I'm thinking to all of you as well. As far as this episode itself goes, wonderful, fun, good episode. as I stated up top, this is a great episode for us to get when we didn't expect this to happen. COVID-19, basically, unless you were Dr. Fauci or whoever you believed made this, wrote this, did this, had this, gave this, whatever it is something that we couldn't have predicted for. And Hollywood, of course, was the same, caught extremely off guard. Production shut down very quickly. So the fact that we got this and it was just such a fun episode. If this was a regular episode, honestly, it would have been by far one of my favorites, let alone a pretty decent season finale. So thank you so much for having this. We got a lot of special effects. We get to see a lot of the costumes that we like. Fun episode. Let's break it down by starting off with Brainy's betrayal. So we start off this episode with Brainy in the car with Lex and trying to not only feel wary for his friends that he's been betraying this entire season, but also wary of Lex's actions. Lex, of course, plans on killing Supergirl and the team before taking down Leviathan. Brainy's only want is to take down Leviathan. He's being pushy. We saw this before when he wanted to go in himself. Now we see it in this episode, as not only does he betray his friends the entire season, he betrays Lex. When he goes in and takes the capsule, the Brainiac capsule, with the help of his real-life sister and Brainy counterpart, Megan Rath, who is extremely amazing. And this is a person who, I wouldn't say they underutilize her. I just feel like they underuse her. I want more Megan Rath. I really like Megan Rath. It's so good to see Megan on screen with her brother. Their camaraderie is so apparent. It's such a brother-sisterly love. And it shines through the screen every single time they're on camera. Just love it so much. I ship that all the way. Now, we get this concept of Brainy, female Brainy, telling Brainy that we know, basically they meet up and we're gonna save our friends. We're gonna go and I'm gonna take the capsule, my Brainy capsule, where we miniaturize everything and place it in this. Why couldn't we have done this 5, 10, 15 episodes ago? If this is all it took to stop Leviathan, we should have thought of this a lot sooner, don't you think? We could have had this from day one. I mean, we've seen these capsules be used before. We've seen them problem solved before. Why couldn't we use them now? Why did it wait until now for us to actually get to this? Brainy betrays Lex and goes in regardless, and also, thankfully, is somehow redeemed because Nia had the dream and saw Brainy's actions. This is another one of those things where I'm over it. Bring Brainy and Nia back. We finally got on board. It took forever for them to get together. And then we broke them up over inhibitors. Come on. We broke them up over Brainy liking Nia too much. And then we broke them up over Brainy not having any emotional connection or doing the most logical thing at all times. Please bring them back. We love Brainia. Hashtag Brainia. Bring them back. We love Brainy and Nia Nall. Such a good, wonderful, eclectic couple, served as such good emotional, not only just emotional uplift, but emotional inspiration when it came to the show. It was the humor, it was the fun, it was the depth, it was the naivete going on Brainy's behalf towards Nia. We need that back. So thankfully, this is maybe the first step in many and reconciliation, simply because Nia is aware of Brainy's achievements. That's if Brainy doesn't die. Brainy goes into the Leviathan ship and is subjected to the radiation gravity field that's holding him down, bogging him down. It's clearly poisoning and destroying him. He doesn't even know if he can last the 10 minutes he needs to in order to miniaturize the Leviathan, let alone Lex coming in and, of course, taking the capsule from him and leaving him there. Thankfully, Nia has had a dream about it. Hopefully, Nia and crew will go and save him. That's something that's going to be stayed until season 6. Alex the superhero. Getting Alex to see her in her costume, this amazing costume. It's reminiscent of Guardian, of course, except it's a lot more. It's got this arrow feel to it. It's like a blue arrow with the hood. It's got the little mask. It does make you think, why can no one tell anyone when they cover their eyes a little? Like, why can't you tell who these people are just by covering their eyes or wearing glasses or whatever it is? We're going to have to talk about not only just naming in the DC universe, but disguises in the DC universe. I mean, at least Don Jones shapeshifts into a human being. These people are just like wearing something a little extra. It's like your mascara is too heavy. Your eyeliner is too much today. Can't tell who you are. But it's so good to see Alex in this costume and having at least the weapons show up. Somehow they fixed it. They did jump over that, but it's working. And Alex has gained a control over it that John Jones seemed not to have had immediately. So it's, I mean, we're going to have to forgive it. It's the suspension of disbelief. We're going to have to let it go because we're moving along the storyline. I love seeing Alex as a superhero, and Kelly did too. You saw those sparks fly. You saw their relationship rekindle. Of course, they've never broken up, but we haven't seen them together. I've seen more of Kelly and William than I have of Kelly and Alex and William and Kara. So let's see what's going on. Let's revisit that Kelly-Alex relationship. Let's give it that spark that it needs. Maybe a little role play. We saw the outfit was definitely sparking Kelly. So hopefully it goes back and forth, and Kelly's heroic actions can also spark something back in Alex. Once again, they've never broken up technically, but we just haven't seen them together in a long time. Kara does not like being on the sideline. Kara, of course, we get that reference, and they actually specifically say it's like Deathly Hallows. We have these decoys who fly around. We need them because Leviathan can sense everything. Ramakan can sense whatever happens on the Earth. We go very low tech. Lena and Kara take the bus. Lena, who's a billionaire, no one recognizes her on the bus. They get to their destination. Kara hates not flying into action. Kara hates the fact that her friends are being attacked, and she can do nothing about it. Guess what, Kara? Sometimes being a hero is a virtue. Patience is even more of a virtue. So patience is key. You're going to have to be patient and learn that. Stop being the superhero that has to fly into the action. You don't have to save everyone. You just have to say, you don't have to save just anyone as long as you save everyone. So having some of that with Lena and Kara, that conversation is a whole subjugation of its own. So let's assume that we've talked about that and talk about Kara being told to stay on the sideline, having to wait, not having her kryptonite suit, needing to just be patient and still jumping into action. She, of course, goes to the station where for William, where Eve has William pinned. And then, of course, Ramakan and crew show up. And she takes them on pre-kryptonite suit, even though that they have the kryptonite. So just be careful, Kara. We need you. We need you. So please stop jumping into action. We need some of that. We need you to sustain. We need you to sometimes be patient. Lena and Kara, finally we get some breaking of this. Lena came to Kara. Of course, Kara's a little wary. Lena comes to Kara after realization of who Lex really is. Like, come on, Lena, it's Lex. What did you expect was going to happen? What did you think was going to happen, Lena? Did you think Lex can't change your stripes? Lex is always going to be Lex. Lena goes back, apologizes to Kara, and now we have a complete 180 of reversal of roles. Here we have Lena apologizing to Kara and Kara being like, well, you hurt me too. Specifically, you pretended to be my friend for weeks. You stole from me, had me steal from you, and used kryptonite on me. Yes, all true. This is where Lena is finally made to realize that her vengeance and her bane of Kara is just unnecessary and it's illogical. Why are you so upset? But at the same time, why is Kara so upset now? Now she gets her friend back. I understand she's showing a little bit of resentment, but let's have some restraint, Kara. You are Supergirl after all. You're supposed to be the good guy in every situation. You're kind of being a little ruthless when it comes to Lena. Like, Lena's trying to help. She made a mistake. You want to be forgiven. Now she's asking to be forgiven. Let's figure it out. Let's hug and make up. I kept waiting for that hug. I kept waiting for I missed you, I love you, something to happen. We didn't get that resolution, but we did get them teaming up, which is always the best thing. Whenever Lena and Kara work together, only good things happen. Lena and Kara working together is like one of the best things. They always come up with great things. Save the world. They save the planet. They kill Lex. I mean, they just do all these amazing things. Lena and Kara is the real team. In fact, out of everyone on the show, I wish Lena and Kara dated. I wish they were together. Forget Alex and Kelly. Forget William and Kara. Forget them all. I would love, forget Brainy and Nia, even though I love them too. Let's get Kara and Lena together. Like, that's the super couple. That's where it's at. That's who we love so much. Just love. And Lena is just such an amazingly, compellingly good actor. just so on the point, just such a good, just a good, good range. I mean, no matter what you say about Katie McGrath, just such a good range of emotional. There seems to always be this pain behind her eyes, which is so reminiscent of Lena and who Lena really is. I don't know if this is character acting to its fullest, but it's just it's great. This is a method. This is a method actor who just took it, like really lived Lena's life just to get here. But it's great. I'm so glad they teamed back up. William going for Tessmacher and, of course, getting caught. We see only a tidbit of flash of William, not that much. William tries to talk Eve out of shooting him. He does end up getting shot. Supergirl comes to the rescue at the end. But you see this connection. You know what? I wouldn't even mind William and Eve. Just William and Kara is not working for me. It's just not. I feel like a Brady Bunch, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. I'm just not working for me, and I want it to. Nair is such a charismatic, good-looking guy. Like, this is who you draw when you're like, who's the exotic, mysterious man? Tall, dark, and handsome. Oh, Stas Nair. And yet, it's just not it. I want it to work. I really do. I want it to work. I want it to work. I hope that it does later in some way, but it's not working for us right now. So we'll see how that goes. We see that Eve is reluctant to shoot William. Eve, in this incarnation, Eve has shown remorse. She wants to be a good person. Maybe we'll see Eve switch sides. We've already seen her cooperate. We see her as an agent under duress of Leviathan and now as an agent under duress of Lex Luthor. She does, however, shoot because her family is in jeopardy. Supergirl is there. We see William in peril. And then, of course, a quick eye flash of Supergirl, and he's cauterized and therefore not in peril anymore. By the way, William, if someone uses super heat vision to cauterize a bullet wound, maybe it's okay to be like, ouch, like something. You just, ugh, it hurt. Like, I know you're a man, but that was a level of man. Like, scream, scream. Scream, because that would have hurt so much. We get three Leviathan members. We've known Gemma and Ramakan, but we get two new ones. So we get these three panels plus Gemma. We get Ramakan, who controls the earth, Tezamak, who seems to control some fire type stuff, and Sela, who does lightning. We get those three. We get nothing from Tezamak and Sela. They don't really have any lines. We don't really see what they do. We don't see anything about them. It was cool to see them, but it was kind of pointless. It's nice to see more powers. We get a little bit of special effects. It was great. Like I said, we didn't really get to see anything. They were responsible for pushing the envelope, but not really pushing the plot, if you really want to know. Nothing much came from them. Three should be better than one, but one would have been great. Ramakan is obviously not only someone we're familiar with, but it's also Mitch Pileggi is an actor that we are very familiar with and we've seen from X-Files and other shows. So it would have just been better if we just had Ramakan, in my opinion. But it was cool. It was fun. And it was a great fight scene. It was a fun fight scene. It's always good when we get to see that. Megan and John, I don't know if I'm shipping that. It's kind of weird because I know that in the comic book, John and Megan are uncle and niece. Of course, in this, they are pushing the relationship. Megan is coming for John and John is coming for Megan. Emotionally, they're connecting. Maybe it's because they're the only two Martians on the planet. Who knows? Why are there not more Martians on Earth? I don't know. There's people from Zumbazu and all these other planets, but no one from Mars, which is like our next door neighbor. Who knows? These super powerful people from Mars. Leviathan made a joke, of course. After Earth, we're going to go for Mars. So clearly there's a bunch of Martians we should be a lot more aware about. Ramakan, Tezamak, and Sela get taken down fairly quickly, to be very honest. For such powerful godlike beings, they get taken down with minimal effort. Also, another thing that got taken down with minimal effort is the Unity Festival. We get this Unity Festival. Everyone's joined up. Everyone's signed in. Everyone's logged in. We have, 2 billion people on. We're waiting for higher numbers. And then we know that it's part of the plan for Lex to take over everyone's mind using possibly Lena's technology, which is exactly what he will be using. So Unity Festival didn't seem like it was going to be better. I wanted it to be more. I wanted the Unity Festival to be like this huge rave. I wanted something. We get the picture of all the people basically surrounding the planet. And then Kara goes up and says, she goes into orbit basically in Obsidian. She logs in. She goes in herself to talk them all out of using it. And she says, this is amazing. I've never seen anything like this. Supergirl, you've literally done this 15,000 times. You've flown to the edge of the orbit. Tom Cruise did this in Mission Impossible. What do you mean you've never seen nothing like this? At this point, we've all seen something like this. I'm sure it's even more grand when you're there, but you've been there. You're Supergirl. You've flown to the out of orbit before. This is not something that should be new to you. What should be incredible is the fact that you thought you could talk to all 2 billion people in a minute. Now, thankfully, Lena was able to create some code that allowed you to talk to everybody simultaneously. And then you gave your speech. I know it can be addictive to live in a place where nothing hurts, but that's not reality. We all get hurt, but it's only by going through that pain that we are able to appreciate the good. Pain is what helps us grow. Without it, we would never be able to evolve, to overcome, to forgive. She's speaking to herself right there. Each of us came here because we are afraid. I'm afraid of getting hurt, just like you. But are you, Supergirl? Are you really? I do everything I can to escape pain, just like you. Don't remember you using meth, Supergirl. But the cost of escaping pain is just too great. Yes, it is, especially when it comes to meth. We have to wake up now. We need to end the simulation once and for all. I believe in you. I believe in you was the message that was simultaneously directed in all aspects. So we get an I believe in you to Andrea, which we're going to talk about. I believe in you to Supergirl, to everyone. And the I believe in you was just the whole, was something that was the trope that was being used. Ryan, I have a question for you. Was that speech enough for you to leave your dream world?
I'll tell you, that speech gave me more inspiration.
Was it powerful for you?
It was the most powerful speech I've ever seen on the Supergirl After Show.
It was the Supergirl's I Have a Dream. That's what they were going for.
It reminded me of that.
It was the speech that was supposed to change everyone's mind. I don't know how powerful it was, but it did ring very true considering the thematic experience that was going on at that time. Everybody needed to be believed in. Most of all, of course, Brainy, as he was giving his all, and female Brainy was inspiring him to go on to continue with not only his mission, but to sustain and not perish from the field that was on the Leviathan ship. I believe in you. So Ryan, I just want to say, I believe in you.
And I have a dream.
Thank you, Ryan.
That you will believe in me.
No. The rest of my... You're done. We're done. Don't... Okay. Stop this. Stop this, Ryan. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We're going to stop, Ryan. What we are going to do is, of course, tweet us from our Twitter. We do have a wonderful Twitter that Ryan runs. Make sure to tweet. Let us know what you're thinking. So we get... Now we're in the downhill part. We've gone through basically 90% of the show, but a lot of things kind of happen in that last 10%. First of all, we activate Andrea, underutilizing her. We've been waiting for this huge Andrea reveal, right? Andrea as the agent of Leviathan. Andrea has that medallion. So we're thinking, oh, Andrea, something's going to happen. Ooh, we can't wait for our Crota to raise, just to come out, to wear the costume. Wasn't even in the costume, wasn't even all that. I mean, let's be very real. We wanted Akrata. We wanted her to come out. I mean, if you're going to activate Andrea, we're going to, in fact, want to activate her in her full glory. We don't want half an activation. We want her to be that assassin, the Leviathan assassin, that Manchurian candidate that we've all been waiting for, that she's semi-exemplified in her nature. That's what we wanted. I wanted the outfit. I wanted the outfit to come out. I wanted her ombrokinesis, her power to bend darkness and shadows basically at her will. I wanted that. I wanted that darkness empowerment, the shadow empowerment, and tangibility. I wanted Andrea to her, because when she's in her shadow form, she's basically untouchable and she can phase through solid objects, right? I wanted to see some of that, her teleportation, her superhuman speed. We literally just saw her walk up in a very regular casual costume and be dissuaded by Lena and her action and her willingness to sacrifice herself in order to stop Andrea from attacking Supergirl's body because Supergirl is inside Obsidian. Wow, talk about wanting more and not getting it. Like, come on. Come on, guys. This you could have done. This you could have given us. You could have given us Andrea. We wanted our Akrata. That is something we should have done. We should have got a lot of that, but we didn't. Was it good to see Andrea? I like Andrea. Andrea on screen is one of my favorites. I wish we had more Andrea. Let's give her some lines. Let's give her some script. Come on. Of course, a person who got a lot of script and a lot of lines. Lex. Lex goes to Brainy on the ship, and Lex basically, you know, I'm starting to believe that anything that happens, Lex is like, I already accounted for this, no matter what it is. I feel like Lex just says that because he knows everyone's going to believe him, because he's like, I knew you were going to come and do this, Brainy. What I didn't know was that you were going to kill yourself in the process. Like, well, if you kind of knew he was going to do this, you kind of had to know that he would die in the process. That's kind of how that goes. You couldn't have known one without the other. Let's all be in agreement there. Let's all recognize that Lex did not know that Brainy was going to do this, but now is recalculating, reformulating, and redistributing a plan in order to compensate for what he did not know. It's kind of like when you pass a lane and your GPS goes recalculating. That's what Lex did with the plan. But comes out, of course, Smooth called it like, I knew you were going to do this. Takes the gods in his hand, who knows what he has planned for. Of course, Lex is the most dubious of them all, possibly to harness their superpowers as he hands them off to his mother, who we have barely seen this season, but finally get to see. And it seems that she's going to do something extremely nefarious and dubious with the gaining of Leviathan in the capsule. And that is the conclusion of our season finale for season 5, episode 19, Immortal Kombat of CW's Supergirl for this season. All of this is basically a nutshell. I'd love to know what you think, each and every one of you in the chat. Let's go to our special segment, Supergirl. Supergirl, of course, referring to a Supergirl, a person who is making a difference in the world. And this week, we're going to talk about Ruby Rose. Of course, coming off the knowledge and the news, the breaking news that Ruby Rose is no longer going to be with us. And I don't mean in life, I mean in the DC Universe. She's no longer going to be playing Batwoman on CW. However, Ruby Rose herself is an amazing and wonderful person. Born Ruby Rose Lingenheim, she is an Australian model. Maybe many of you didn't know she was Australian. Of course, all of us knew she was a model. She's amazing. Model, actor, and television presenter. She came to attention when she was actually presenting, and this is way back when, on MTV Australia. That's when people's eyes fell on her and she got some high profile gigs. One of them, of course, being Maybelline in Maybelline, New York, and then making her way to the States after Australia's Next Top Model and the Project Network 10, right? She comes out, then she's on Around the Block. She got on Orange is the New Black. That's which catapulted her. That's when all of us heard about her. She was then in Resident Evil, the final chapter, and then Triple X, not the way you think, Triple X, Return of Xander Cage. She then got on John Wick, this chapter 2. So here we start getting these amazingly great big roles. Pitch Perfect 3, The Meg, and then she joined us finally on the Arrowverse in Batwoman, Kat Kane, and she left just recently. That's breaking news. Born in Melbourne, but she plays this American accent. I didn't even know she was Australian until I saw an actual interview where she spoke with that Australian accent. I was like, whoa, good night, mate. And I was like, wait, what? You just never know. She's been extremely outspoken in the LGBTQ community. this is what makes her a definite Supergirl. I mean, she came out at the age of 12 and has been very outspoken and talks about her being bullied, talks about verbal and physical abuse by her male peers, talks about her sexuality and gender variance, talks about being abused as a child by a relative. All these things are things that she talks about openly to people who are empathetic, but mostly to those who can relate. She talks about her thoughts, her bouts with suicidal thoughts and her attempted suicide at age 12. One of the most unfortunate situations anyone can go through, but she has definitely brought light into the darkness. Talking about her attempted suicide and her multiple attempts throughout her life, and being diagnosed with clinical depression, which was initially misdiagnosed as bipolar disorder and complex post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, she's been through it all. That's what makes her one of the best people, is not only has she been through it, she talks about it openly and honestly and sincerely, and she also is a voice for many different charities in the LGBTQ community, in the mental illness community, and also specifically, and it's so great because yes, she does all the climate change stuff. This is a person who cares so much that she's a vegan based on the concept of climate change and how it can actually affect everyone on Earth. Amazing to see, and for her to be who she is, to be such a role model, not only in the LGBTQ community, but the community at large, to talk about mental health issues so prominently in her position, something that a lot of people in her position would hide. It just creates relatability and representation for a lot of different people. She's got all the tattoos and that strong feminist energy that we like. Love, love her. And so much fun. So it's good to see Ruby Rose as the strong feminist leader, the LGBTQ community leader, and more importantly, a leader of humanity. That's what makes her a true Supergirl. I will be remiss to talk about something. Let's not forget, she went into, she did a stunt on Batwoman, and she had to get emergency surgery. She had to get a spinal surgery for two herniated discs because of it. That's very dangerous. It may have led to her departure from Batwoman. We're all very sad to see her go. I think there was a merger. I think many good things could have happened. While Batwoman isn't one of my favorite shows, it honestly very easily could be. And Ruby Rose would have been a big part of that. So it's almost like a reciprocation where we need both. Batwoman is Ruby Rose. Ruby Rose is Batwoman. I wonder what they're going to do. Ryan, what do you think is going to happen with Batwoman?
I think what's going to happen with Batwoman is I think they're going to recast her. I think the show was successful enough. We actually have an after show hosted by Ali Kona Bradford and Katie Kawamoto on our Sci-Fi Network channel. I think they're going to recast her. I think Ruby Rose is going to be fine, but it is bad, and I'm sad to see her go. It is unprecedented that the lead of a CW show, especially a female lead at that matter, get recast after just the first season.
Who do you think should play? Who do you think could play Batwoman?
Who do I think could play Batwoman?
Yeah. If you had to throw out some, like who should be Batwoman? Who do you think?
Aubrey Plaza.
Wow, that's a very interesting pick. I love Aubrey. I love her. Like I love her. I don't think that's a good pick because she she plays so large. I mean, she doesn't seem the Batwoman type.
She's not jacked.
She would have been, it's not even that. She would have made a great Catwoman. I think she's a little too eclectic for my taste in a Batwoman, but she would have made a great Catwoman. I love her. I also think Rihanna would have made a great Catwoman. I love Aubrey Plaza. She kills it in Legion. She kills in Legion.
Shoots to kill.
You know, I have some thoughts on who should play Batwoman. Rose Leslie. I don't know if you know who Rose Leslie is, but she basically was
Game of Thrones.
Ygritte. Exactly. Game of Thrones. I feel like she would be a very decent Batwoman, maybe even way more true to form. Patty Morin. Patty Morin's from The Frozen. I don't know if you've seen The Frozen, but she was a musical star. She would be a great Batwoman, I feel like. Even Rachel Wood might be a really good Batwoman. You know, we've seen her. She was basically Dolores in Westworld. We've seen her act that way.
Right.
And of course, this is my personal favorite. And also, she's already been a part of the CW family. Phoebe Tonkin. Phoebe Tonkin would be an amazing, amazing Batwoman.
Wow.
Phoebe Tonkin, if you don't remember her, she's from the originals. She is wow. So I think I would love to know, everyone at home, I'd love to know who you think should play Batwoman. Let us know in the comments below. Give us your thoughts. Subscribe, share, like, tell your friends, spread the word. Give us 5 stars on iTunes if you're listening to us on iTunes. We are the best Supergirl after show after all. Thank you so much for being the most part of that, for making this happen. Like I said, spread the word, spread the love. Just don't spread corona. We're all in this together, and thank you for making us the ESPN of TV talk. Let's jump into our news and gossip. So, news and gossip. The CW Supergirl, according to CBR.com, our good friends there and our great source on all things Supergirl, the CW Supergirl will return later than other Arrowverse series. Yes, some bad news. Supergirl will return mid-2021. That's mid-2021. Mid. And that's actually, other shows are going to return January 2021 because they've already pushed the fall into a mid-winter release. But Supergirl is going to come back after that. Of course, we know that Melissa is pregnant and is probably having her child at the time. We have so many things, the pregnancy, maternity leave. We also have Corona. So many things are going. We're not going to get Supergirl until mid-2021. Now, what's good about that? Let's look at the cup half full on this. Hopefully, we're going to get some writers' room meetings where we revisit, revamp, and redo Supergirl and get it back and claim the glory that once was. Let's get these storylines in order. Let's, you know what, even if we have to drop a lot of things and just jump right into some greatness, we would love to do that. So let's hope that we all get back into that. Let's jump into some predictions. Bringing out my crystal ball. I predict that Lex Luthor's plan, including his mother, is going to get out of hand. Lex is going to try to make himself a god by harnessing the power of the Leviathans, Ramahans, Teza, Malkinsella, into his own self and somehow create something more. I think that Brainy is going to be saved by Dianol. It would be a horrible blow if we lost Brainy. I think McGann and John, of course, are headed towards romance, but the romance is going to be troubled and it's not going to last as long as we think. I also think we're going to get William and Kara and we're going to just let that fall off. I don't think it was hot and steamy enough for anybody. And I think we're going to let that drop. I think Alex, as a superhero, is going to get into her own, much like Guardian, and take a lot of pressure off of Supergirl, who is going to get back into reclaiming this world. We have a lot going on, but we won't find out until mid-2021. I'm almost so sad to see all of you go because we've been together for so long. This is not farewell. I simply bid you adieu as we go into 2021 and 2022. As for me, I am Tehran. You can find me at I am Tehran all across the board. That's IAMTEHRAN all across the board on all social media. And of course, hosting and paneling on a slew of other AfterBuzz after shows, because all of your favorite TV shows are my favorite TV shows too. Most recently, you can check me out on CW Stargirls. So we're not done with the girls. Power Girls is where it's at. Ryan, where can people find you?
Me at Ryan Nilsen, RYNILSEN, and at Supergirl Tehran on Twitter.
That's right, because you are my Supergirl, Ryan. You are my Supergirl. Until mid-2021, we will see you back here, same Supergirl time, same Supergirl channel, when we return. Up, up, and away.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.